Okay, is the well, we ready to go? I thought, okay, we're done with service, man. Let's go meet the Lord in the air. Okay, let's try that again. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah? 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And also the book of John, chapter 3. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? That's the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53 first. We're going to begin reading in verse 6 and 7. The Word of God says, through the great prophet Isaiah, writing about what Jesus would do on the cross, thousands of years before it would transpire. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. I want you to turn with me now to John chapter 3, beginning at verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there. They came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you bear witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on that subject taken from verse 30. He must increase. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, I thank you for the holy presence of God we feel in this sanctuary. And Lord, I'm praying for more of that. But Lord, I know that that glorious presence of God that is our very life blood, so to speak, spiritually, only comes when Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified in totality in everything that's said and done. When there is no seeking of our own glory, but there is only the seeking of your glory. Lord, do a work in all of our hearts today. Humble us further in your sight, Lord Jesus. Do whatever work needs to be done in us today, Lord, so that we will have the heart's cry only of John the Baptist. He must increase. Lord, I thank you for your presence today, and I ask you to anoint me to preach your word in a way that will do it justice, in a way that will edify your people and bring glory to the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. In your holy name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Great preacher around the turn of the century by the name of A.B. Simpson, who was ultimately the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church, which was a great move of God in the earlier part of the century, was one day preaching one of his foundational sermons to the newly formed congregation at its annual meeting of the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. And he was referring to the very scripture that we read this morning where John the Baptist said he must increase. He spoke that morning so powerfully on the person of Jesus Christ and what it meant to rest in the glory of God that his crowd became so moved with the holy presence of God that when the service was dismissed, no one left. They sat there in silence because the holiness of God had so infiltrated that arena that day. Out of respect for the presence of God, they were afraid to move. They sat there in meditative silence for hours after the service was over. Years later, another great preacher of the same denomination, A.W. Tozer, was writing about that meeting in which he was a member of the audience. And he said that and he wrote this in 1952. He said, unless our movement returns and becomes fixated and totally in love again with the person of Jesus Christ, and we regain our lost respect and have holy awe again for his glorious presence, within two decades, our movement is going to become nominal, and we will lose the anointing of the Holy Spirit that God has so given to us. Sadly, Tozer's prophetic words have come true. The Christian and Missionary Alliance, now although orthodox in their beliefs, they are no longer the force for God that they were when they first began. And as I've studied church history, and every great movement of God that has arisen in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, there have been great moves of God without great preaching. There have been great moves of God without great singing. There have been great moves of God without a lot of manifestation of spiritual gifts. But there has never been a great move of God without Jesus being the center of it. When Jesus Christ is the focal point of everything that's said and done, and man is willing to lay aside his pettiness, oh, the work that can be done for the kingdom of God. The power of God can fall when man is totally abased and Jesus Christ is totally glorified. As we read in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah this morning, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great prophet Isaiah wrote and said that he opened not his mouth. Sometimes there's a greater power in silence than there is in what we can yell and shout about. Just like as the holy presence of God fell over that meeting that A.B. Simpson preached, to where the people, out of respect for the presence of God, were afraid to move. They were having a change in their hearts. I got to stop and preach here for just a moment. There is nobody who believes in running aisles and shouting over what Jesus has done for us on the cross more than this guy you're looking at. You know that. I'll shout real easy about that. But the problem today in the modern church is just what A.B. Simpson and A.W. Tozer both addressed. The church has lost its holy awe of Almighty God. The church no longer reverences God in the way that she should. And the reason for that is because the focus has been turned off of the person of Jesus Christ and on to men and their ministries and their giftings and their plans and their programs. And God will not share his glory with anyone or anything else. It must be all of him and none of us. If we are to experience the holy flow and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will bring victory, that will change lives, that will make us live like giants, that will turn us into Christ's likeness. And that is the power that we need in this last day. And I believe that the Holy Ghost of God is calling the church not to a revival, for a revival and a regurgitation of what has transpired in the church over the last 50 years will bring nothing but death. The Holy Ghost is calling for a reformation. an entire change in the way that we think, that we once again throw ourselves at the foot of the cross and abase ourselves before a holy God and say all of our intellect, all of our preaching, all of our giftings are totally worthless if they are not bringing glory and honor to the Savior of this world. Can somebody give Him praise today? We need a reformation. And Jesus, when He was charged wrongfully and treated ruefully, He opened not His mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're like me, and somebody charges me with something that's wrong, I want the world to know about it. I want everybody to know how wrong I was done. I can tell the way y'all looking at me, you ain't like that, but just bear with me. It'll help me today, okay? But Jesus opened not His mouth. That's a beautiful thing. You say, why is that? Because by not opening His mouth, He was in essence accepting guilt. What? The Son of God? No. I'm not suggesting He was guilty. I said He was accepting guilt. He was accepting the guilt of your sin and my sin. He was fully and willingly emptying Himself of what was rightfully His, and He could have vindicated Himself at any second in time. But because He was thinking of you and I, He totally emptied Himself of any wrongful motivation and accepted the guilt and the penalty. And I need to say that better than that. He accepted the penalty of the guilt that should have fallen on you and I. And He opened not His mouth. He did not declare His righteousness. He did not declare His power. He did not make a show, as He well could have, of the soldiers and the crowd that day on Calvary's Hill, but as a lamb led to the slaughter. And everybody knew exactly what Isaiah was talking about. For the little lambs in this day, when they would lead them to the slaughter, there's something about a little lamb's nature that it will just stand there and let you shear it and will make no outcry whatsoever. Even when they were about to be slaughtered, they would not make an outcry. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament when the lambs were used so many times. And now this time Isaiah writes about Him, one of the salient points of His Messiahship was He did not try to defend Himself. He accepted our guilt. We go into John chapter 3 then. And in John chapter 3 we see Satan's greatest tactic in diverting the attention of the church off of Jesus Christ. But John the Baptist, the greatest prophet who Jesus said ever lived, has just burst on the scene after 400 years of prophetic silence. 400 years God has not spoken to the human race through a prophet. God has given no revelation of any kind since the close of the book of Malachi that we have recorded anyway. And now John the Baptist bursts on the scene preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand, and his message was one of repentance. And the crowds thronged John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was the one who was preparing the way for the Messiah. John's crowds, to put it in the modern vernacular, he would have been the premier evangelist of the day. On every Christian TV station, experiencing accolade after accolade for his great preaching and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was on his ministry. But then one day, over the Judean countryside, as he was baptizing, John was baptizing in the Jordan River, came the one who John knew, I've been put on this planet to prepare the way for him. And when he appeared, when Jesus appeared over the hillside, without hesitation, the mightiest prophet in the world, the one who they were pouring all the accolades on, the one who was having the biggest meetings, to put it in the modern vernacular, the one who was the most well-known, without hesitation and without pause, points to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That was a great act of humility on the part of John the Baptist. That was a great act of knowing who he was in God and what God had called him to do. For God had not called John to bring glory upon himself. God had not called John to be famous in and of his own right. But he had called John to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus Christ. And John, the reason Jesus could call him the greatest prophet who ever lived, for Jesus said, among women, there is not born one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. So Jesus affirmed John as being the greatest prophet of all. And the last Old Testament prophet he was. Yet he was so humble. That's why the glory of God could rest on him so. He knew his mission. He knew that the world, although it was pouring accolades upon him, although he was drawing the biggest crowds, he knew, my mission is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what the church has lost. And that's the kind of reformation that I'm praying God sends us. A reformation to where, God, you do it through whoever and however you want to do it. But God, I need your glory. God, I need your presence. God, I need to feel your Holy Ghost when we come into this building. For we're living in the last day, and Satan and all of his minions are attacking the child of God who truly believes in the cross of Christ at every turn. We need the power of God, church. We don't have time to play games. We don't have time to get into this pettiness of personalities. We need, when we come together, to have a holy awe of who he is. He is Jehovah God. He has a son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. And he has a Holy Ghost that is real and alive today and wants to touch us. And he will. But we must have the humility of John the Baptist to know what we're here for. So that when men begin to heap any kind of accolades on us, John didn't turn them down, but he let them know, I'm not here for me. I'm glad y'all are coming out to the meetings. I'm putting it in the modern vernacular, hopefully to shed light on it. I'm glad God's using me. I'm glad you're coming out to the meetings, but I'm not here for me. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. My Lord, that phrase has been ringing through my soul over the past few months. Takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, that ought to make us all shout. I said, take away the sin of the world. Until then, it had just been covered. It had just been covered. It was still there. But John pointed to this man who was more than just a man, who was the Son of God. And in humility and in self-abasement, without a second thought, though he was the most popular preacher in the known world at that time, he said, there's the one. There's the one we're here for. He's the one that's going to the cross. He's the one that's going to take away, hallelujah, the sin of this world. Give him glory this morning. And the church has to fall in love with Jesus again. To where when we come in here, we don't need entertainment. God forbid we get out of ourselves in every way we can. And when we come into this building, it's Jesus. Just like they told us down at International Youth Camp. I love their theme. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But as with any great move of God, Satan's going to do all he can to thwart it. And we see in John chapter 3, his greatest weapon. He makes an appeal to the fleshly Christian. Or tries to appeal to the flesh of a godly Christian. Two classes there Satan made his appeal to. The godly Christian, John the Baptist. Secondly, John's disciples and the Jews. Look at what happened. They got into an argument. The Jews and the disciples of John did. Over the right Jewish rites of purification. Now, to shed some light on what was going on here, the Jews and the Pharisaical Jews had these fence laws, they were called. They built laws around laws they thought to keep them from sinning. And they had all of these different rites, like you had to wash your plates and dishes a certain way. And if they weren't washed or a certain way, you could divorce your wife for that. Yeah. Jesus spoke of that when he was talking about the hardness of their hearts. Those were the fence laws. And they got into a big argument over that. Now that's what Satan loves to get the church to do. Start majoring in minors. Then he's got her distracted off of Jesus Christ. Those fence laws didn't amount to a hill of beans one way or the other. Really, I'm speaking spiritually. They didn't matter at all. That's how Satan tries to get in and destroy a move of God. He wants to get the church to major in minors. And he's so adept at doing it. Look at what has the attention of the church right now. This foolishness going on down in Lakeland, Florida, that they're holding up as a revival, where they're kicking people in the stomach with fourth stage cancer. I've seen the video of it. And they're standing there in obvious pain, and they're trying to act like it's a move of the Holy Ghost. That's the time that we're living in. That shows you how eat up with flesh the church has become. The church wants heroes of men now. The church wants to make demigods of men and their gifts. And she's lost her love for Jesus Christ and her love for the holiness of God. And it's all because Satan has done to the modern church just what he was trying to do to John and the disciples of John. So they got into an argument over something that didn't amount to anything at all. The purification rites, which Jesus on the cross was going to destroy anyway. Even the rites that were in the Old Testament law concerning purification. And in that argument, they come to John the Baptist. And they make the appeal. Now bear in mind, this is the church that's doing this. This isn't a bunch of lost people. This is what was the church of that day. John, you know that guy you baptized? Look at the disrespect they even asked the question with. That man that you baptized over in Jordan, how quickly they had sat there and they had seen heaven open. They'd heard the voice. They saw Jesus baptized. And now they refer to him as that man you baptized in Jordan. That shows you how far off your attention can get when you take it off of Jesus Christ and start to major in minors. How quickly it can happen. It can destroy the mightiest move of God in seconds once flesh is introduced into that move of God, because God will not share his glory. I read a story this week. It's somewhat humorous, but it illustrates the point I'm trying to make. A popular evangelist in the 50s, they didn't name him, the story did, but they said he was a popular evangelist in the 50s, was really well known. They said at one of the particular cities he was going to, 2 weeks before he arrived, the pastor called him and said, "Sir, revival has already broken out. People are being saved. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are being manifested, and people are being blessed by the presence of God." He said, "Well, can you hold it till I get there?" Do you see what I'm talking about? What are we doing? What's the motivation behind what we're doing? You can make it look awful pretty and awful good. But if our motivation is wrong, you know what it is before God? It's wood, it's hay, and it's stubble, and it's all going to burn. We can fool one another, we can fool people, but we can't fool Him. And what we'll wind up with, if Jesus is not the focal point, if Jesus is not the drawing card, if Jesus is not the center of attention, we're just going to wind up with a bunch of mess of human flesh that ain't going to help nobody out. And the church can come together and shout over it and feel good about it and go home and think they've had church. But there will be no change in their hearts. There will be no peace in their hearts. There will be no real presence of God that changes lives. And church, that is what we need. He must increase. He must increase. He must increase. And so they come to John now with this petty argument. And think of what a humble man John must have been. Here he is, the most popular prophet of his day, having the biggest meetings. I dare say that just about anybody today in the position that John was in would have let jealousy over the ministry of Jesus creep into their heart. Because that's what their question was trying to incite. You know that man you baptized over in Jordan? John, how should we do these purification rites? Look with me now. Chapter 3. Verse 27. Latter part, well, let's read the latter part of verse 20. Let's read all of verse 26. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond Jordan, to whom you bear witness, they don't even name his name. This was the Son of God they saw baptized. And this crowd now can't even name his name. Do you see how out of focus you can get when you become enamored with human flesh and human ability? And it can happen so quickly. And John answered and said, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he was with you beyond Jordan to whom you bear witness. Behold, the same baptizes, and all men are coming to him. Well, there you have it. John, you've been the most powerful prophet in your day. But now everybody's thronging over to this guy that you baptized. They were trying to stir up jealousy between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan was trying to do that. What a man John the Baptist was. No wonder Jesus said about him, he's the greatest prophet of all. Because he knew what he was there to do. The point of this whole message, he must increase. Church, I want Crossway Community Church to never forget what we're here to do. The Lord's been working on my heart this week. It's been a little bit painful, but He's been working on my heart. And He showed me some things again I don't like about Greg Browning. And I'm like, Lord, I just want to see you do it. He's brought me to that point. I don't care who you do it through. It don't have to be me. I want you to choose. I just want you to do it. And Lord, I want it so bad, I'll set by and let you use whoever you want to use, as long as it's you that's being glorified. As long as it's Jesus that's being held up. As long as there is a witness of the Spirit of our body that, yes, this is the Holy Ghost, then you do it through whoever you want to. But I'm asking you, will you do it? Will you give us a reformation of your glory? And not just so we can say, Crossway Community Church is right. That's not the idea at all. Oh God, I don't want that. I've been so guilty in my life at times of praying for a move of God. And Lord, I want to be the leader of it. Okay, that was supposed to be sarcastically funny and truthful at the same time. Maybe I need to say it again. I've been guilty of praying that. I haven't actually prayed that, but I'm talking about the motivation of my heart in my prayer. God ain't going to answer no prayer like that. Can I tell you that? God is not going to answer a prayer like that. Because in effect, what you're asking Him to do and what I've made the mistake of asking Him to do in a prayer like that is, Lord, I want to share in Your glory. Now, I'm using myself here, church. Don't look at me like a bunch of doe-eyed calves. I think you all know full well what I'm talking about. And he's bringing me to the point I want him. I really do. We're in the last days, church. Families are falling apart. Satan is ripping apart everything he can. And I, for one, am not going to let my pride get in the way of a move of God, because I want families put back together. I want the saints of God held in the palm of Jesus Christ. I want to be in a church where His power is moving. And only a church that will share, that will not bring, I'm saying this so poorly, that will not crucify its flesh and say we want to uphold Jesus and we're going to let Jesus and the Holy Ghost use whoever He wants to use, because we're more interested in the body of Christ than we are our individual prowess and power and our position. I want it, church. And I don't care who he does it through. But we need it. My Lord, Satan's doing everything he's got at people. Good men and women of God, just like these that approached John the Baptist. Don't you think for a second that you can get your eyes off of Jesus and fall like that. It doesn't take long at all. And now they come to John the Baptist with this fleshly question. Jesus is drawing bigger crowds than you are now, John. I dare say that most of the preachers on TV today, most of our quote-unquote superstar preachers, you know what they would do with that? They would immediately go to form a plan. Oh, we got to do something to draw bigger crowds. So instead of running and kicking people in the stomach, Let's start dancing on their heads. You see, that's flesh. Flesh just breeds more ugly flesh. But thank God, I'm praying, God make me like John. You hammered Greg Browning, and you crucify my flesh, and you even publicly humiliate me if you've got to. But you make me like John, because I love your people. And I want to see them touched and blessed. And I know I can't do nothing to help them. I know my oratory and my intelligence, which is minimal anyway, ain't going to help nobody out. In this day and age, we need the power of God. We need the power of God. He must increase. He must increase. But John knew what he was there to do. He knew his calling. And God, raise up 1,000 men in our generation like John the Baptist who love Jesus and only want to do what Jesus has sent them to do, what God has called them to do. They don't care about the accolades of the world. They don't care about how big their crowd is, or if somebody draws a bigger crowd than them, or if somebody can preach better, or sing better, or teach better, or do whatever better. They're only interested in His glory. And in doing what he called him to do. Look at John's answer in verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." What a humble answer to Satan's attempt to stir up jealousy and pride. He was in effect saying, "The anointing I have, it's come from heaven. The reason I've been able to draw the crowds, the reason you've seen the powerful manifestations of God's glory, it's all because of Him. I ain't had nothing to do with it. Oh, my Lord, I ain't there, but I want to be. I'm not ashamed. I want to be transparent before you this morning. I ain't there, but I want to be. Because I want to see God's people get help in this last day. And I know we got the right message, but church, John's disciples had the right message in their day. I want that to sink in. We know the message of the cross. Yes, we believe in it. And that message of the cross, once it is adapted into the human heart, should produce a humility and should produce a personality and attitude like that of John the Baptist. But if we accept the cross only on intellectual grounds and not on spiritual grounds, flesh will still be produced, even though we know the right message. But God, John answered him and said, it all came from him anyway. It all came from him. I have nothing. I have nothing. Going on to verse 28. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ. You see, earlier, they were trying to charge John that you're the Messiah. Another attempt of Satan to destroy the plan of God through appealing to the pride of life. That's how Satan destroys so many people. He makes his appeal to the pride of life. See, in 1 John 2:15, when the word says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of the world. Those first two things, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, they immediately pull you down if you engage in them. And most people fully understand that if you engage in the lust of the eye or the lust of the flesh, there'll be a penalty to pay for it. But the pride of life is the most deceptive of the three. Because the pride of life offers personal glory. And John, when he was charged with being the Messiah, in humility, he told him, I'm not him. I've been sent to bear witness of him. In effect, that should be the position of the church. We are sent to bear witness of him. All these people having all these missional church conferences, trying to determine what is the mission of the church. It's right here is the mission of the church. We're called to bear witness of him. He goes on, let's read it all. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. What a statement. What a statement. John said, he's the bridegroom. This bride, the body of Christ that I'm preaching to, it's his bride. And I rejoice when he comes. My joy is fulfilled at seeing everybody go after him and not after me. My Lord, what a statement. What a statement. I've watched people in churches pull every trick in the book to get people to follow them because they want to look spiritual. They want to look like... And at times I've been guilty of it myself. And God's bringing me to the point, as I said, I'm saying, crucify my flesh, Lord Jesus. Because we're losing people. I'm not talking this church. I'm talking all over. So I've talked with Brother Larson and the ministers down in Baton Rouge. They're experiencing the same thing. Families that have been together for 20 and 30 years falling apart seemingly at a moment's notice. That's the work of the enemy in this last day. And my belief is this, is that if we have a church where God's glory is really moving, that there is such power in that, that if people will come and taste of that, it'll hold them enamored with Jesus Christ. If in our services, everything we say and do and our motivation is all about he must increase. And there's none of us involved in it for our own glory. Oh God, help us. When Satan makes his play to use jealousy and try to turn us against one another, he won't be able to do it because we'll say, praise God, he's using so and so. If it is the Holy Spirit using them. And they're not off on some fleshly tangent. Let's rejoice. Let's praise God over that because I don't want to see one more family fall apart. I don't want to see one more child of God lose their way. I've been on my face before God. And I've been asking him, God, please, 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 do with me whatever you've got to do, but help hold our families together. Only you can do it. I can't do it. And if you choose to use somebody else in the process, that's up to you. You do it. But I can't stand to see what the enemy's doing. to our people. And the Lord spoke to my heart this week, and when he gave me this message, he said, there's your answer. He must increase. He must increase. He said, I won't share my glory with no one, Greg. He said, even the well-intentioned who want to do my work, as you do, even the well-intentioned who want to preach the truth, like you do, and want to get God's, my people, the right message. He said, I won't share my glory with you. I will not share my glory with you. And it broke my heart. I said, Lord, I don't want that. I want your people helped. More than anything, I want your power. I want to see lost people really find Jesus. Church, this is real. This power and presence of God, it's a very real, real thing. And the reason it's all too rare is because the church has fallen in love with everything but Jesus. And in this new reformation that I believe the Holy Ghost is going to send to not only this church, but other churches. When you walk into them, you're going to know right away what they're all about. And it's not going to be about a particular program or a particular doctrine. It's going to be saliently clear because of the presence and the glory of God being there. This is a Jesus church. He must increase. He must increase. And now as we begin to close, let's finish out that statement. In verse 30, here's the hard one. I must decrease. It's easy to shout over the he must increase. It's a lot harder to shout over the I must decrease. But that's what it's going to take. That's the kind of work in this last day to have God's power and God's glory in a church. It's going to take exactly what that scripture is calling for. He must increase. I must decrease. We must be willing to let him empty ourselves. How many times do we pray, Lord, fill us. Lord, fill us. Fill us with more of your power, Lord. When was the last time you prayed, God, empty me? Empty me of the lust for what the world has to offer. Empty me of the junk and the sin that's in my life, Lord. Then replace it with your glory. Empty my life, Lord, of the desire to want to glorify myself in any way. That's what that scripture means when it said, when John was saying, I must decrease. He was saying, he is the bridegroom. This body is his. All I've been called to do is to point everybody to him. So when John heard that the masses were now thronging to Jesus, here's the work that I want God to do. And not only me, but all of us. John rejoiced, the Bible said. He said, this is therefore my joy fulfilled. In other words, I'm doing what God called me to do because they're all going to him. What a statement. What a statement. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. They're all going after him. They're ignoring me, and they're going after him. They're ignoring my great oratory. They're ignoring my great ability, and they're going after him. That's why God gave me the oratorical and the ability and the gifting to send them after him. And if we'll empty ourselves and ask God to empty us to the point that we're like that, then we're going to see his glory, church. We'll have a reformation, not just merely a revival, something that lasts a few weeks and gets us all hyped up and fired up again. I'm talking about a reformation to where it stays and we grow in it. That's a reformation. It doesn't leave. God, empty us of our desire for entertainment in the church. A.W. Tozer, I read one of his quotes this week. It so blessed my heart, but it's so true. And I've often reminded myself of this in my ministry. He said, it's impossible for an individual to show forth at once that I'm extremely talented, witty, and charming, and Jesus Christ is powerful. You can't show forth both those things at once. It's got to be one or the other. And I want this church, and I want my life, to show forth what John the Baptist did. Because that's the only way anybody's going to get any real help. Because it comes from heaven. He must increase. I must decrease. He must increase. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we need a visitation of your glory, Lord. We need it so badly. Lord, we need to repent today, first of all. Lord, we repent of our entertainment hunger in the church. We repent, Lord, of thinking we need all of these things when really all we need is you, Lord Jesus. And some may think that's an oversimplification or an outmoded euphemism. But it's none of those. It's true. John the Baptist knew it. Lord, let this church, let every church in America, I pray, return to it. To where Jesus is enough. Where Jesus alone is enough. Fill our lives and your house, Lord, with your glory. Oh God, he's here, church. This is so what we need. Thank you, Holy Ghost of God, for your presence. Work in us, Lord Jesus. Crucify our flesh today, Lord. People are counting, Lord, on getting this gospel and having a place to come. Lord, I pray you raise up 1,000, Lord, but this one, you've entrusted to me as an under-shepherd, Lord, so I can only speak for it. Let your glory fill this place. We desire only you, Lord Jesus. We desire not to show our giftings and our abilities, Lord. We want to show forth the Lord of glory, and we want his holy presence. I'm just going to shut up for the next few minutes because I feel God, the Holy Ghost, is doing a work right now. And he just wants us to be still before him. Please, no music, nothing. Be still before Holy God. His holy presence is here. And let him work in our hearts. Thank you. Church, I'm going to ask you now, I believe the Holy Spirit would have us just to lift our hands and begin to worship Him. Focusing on Jesus, our all in all. Lord, empty us today. Empty us today, Lord Jesus. Before you fill us, Lord. Empty us of sin. Empty us of wrong motivations. Empty us of our pride. Empty us of our self-will. Empty us of our lust after the approval and the adulation of men. Do a mighty work in our hearts. Go deep in us, I pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. He is moving so mightily and so deeply right now. I know I probably don't need to tell you that, but I just thank Him for it. Because we're in His glory right now, and it's because we're abased and we're humbled before it. And there's more. There's a lot more where this is coming from. And the more we can empty ourselves of us so that we can be filled with Him, He must increase. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is what we really need, church, what's going on right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. We may think we need a lot of other things. This will solve His work. The kind of work He's doing right now will solve many, many, many other problems. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the response of your people to your word and to your spirit. Thank you, Lord, that I don't sense the hardness of heart from them today, but I sense a hunger. Give us a reformation, Lord Jesus. All over the world, but I'm asking humbly, Lord, and not so I can say that I was the pastor in charge of it. Use somebody else, Lord, if you want to, but give it to us. Give it to us, Lord Jesus. Give us a reformation of really needing only you and realizing we only need you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, albeit painful sometimes, this type of work. It's so necessary if we're to experience the glory of God. Lord, forgive us of pride. Forgive us of arrogance. Forgive us of self-will. Forgive us of self-exaltation. Cleanse us in the blood of Jesus. And make us like John the Baptist, to where we realize everything we have comes from heaven, and our only goal is to point to Jesus Christ. He must increase. He must increase. That's the answer to every problem that we're going through, Lord, whatever form it's taking. He must increase. Empty us, Lord. I thank you for the work that you're doing. Continue it, Lord. Don't let this just be a service where the right words were said today and we got in the Spirit and then we forget about it. Lord, let the reformation be starting today. Where it renews our minds and aligns them with the Word of God and with what the Spirit of God has called us to do. Exalt Jesus. Exalt Jesus in everything. And abase ourselves at the foot of His cross. Praise God. Would you stand on your feet now? Let's worship Him. Worship Him and adore Him. Adore Him right now. He is our all-sufficiency. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. You are our everything, Lord Jesus. May we never forget it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Lord, it's such a privilege to stand in your presence and to feel your glory. Let it increase, Lord. Let your glory increase as we decrease. We're not going to make it without your power in this hour, Lord Jesus. We'll be deceived. We'll get in our flesh. And all kind of ugliness will enter our lives and we'll lose sight of who you are. Even knowing the glorious message of the cross and understanding it, we can't become prideful over knowing the right message. Oh God, help us. Help us today as a church and as individuals. Lord, I praise you for the work I know you've done on all of us today. I pray it's truly the beginning today of a reformation for Crossway Community Church. Lord, it's altogether possible to become prideful over not being prideful. Lord, open our eyes to every tactic the enemy would use in this last day to turn our attention off of the jewel of heaven, Jesus Christ. Let us reject anything or any adulation that will bring glory and honor upon us and divert it to the one who owns all the glory, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Worship Him and adore Him right now, saints of God. Lord, we've emptied ourselves before you today. We've allowed you to empty us. And Lord, that process is going to have to be ongoing, but at the same time today, I'm asking now for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit of God to fall upon every saint. I'm talking, Lord, a true Holy Ghost impartation that can only come from Jesus Christ. That'll change the way we think, the way we act, the way we look, and the things we're involved in. Praise your holy name today, Father. Praise the name of the Son of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's healing people right now in places that have needed to be healed for a long time. Lord, thank you that you never slight anybody. Others may have slighted us, but Lord, you never will. We can be secure in your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of God this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Could you give him a round of praise that he's worthy of this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I really pray that today the Holy Ghost has begun a reformation in our church, where we now ask Him to empty us of us and of all the junk that's there and fill it with Him. He must increase. I must decrease. Praise God. Please be with us on Wednesday night if you can. We're having a tremendous study in the book of Genesis. I know it'll be a blessing to you. And just come out and be with us. It'll be good to be in the house of God if you can make it out on Wednesday night. And I pray with me for this reformation. I'm praying in my heart that God has given you a revelation of the gravity of this service today. Lives are counting on us obeying God. People we don't even know yet, but I believe are going to come and be saved in this church. Their spiritual destiny and eternal destiny is hinging upon whether or not we really obey God and ask Him for a reformation of nothing but the person of Jesus Christ. God bless you so very, very much. Shake one another's hands, hug one another's necks. You're dismissed.
Same thing you saw.